Welcome to Manager Tools. Trinity Pushback, one-on-ones, creative people, part two. Here we go. This cast answers these questions. What do I tell a director who says he's too creative to do one-on-ones? Should managers be allowed to be completely creative? How important is being creative as a manager? Well, if you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
Our next topic here is creativity is good, right? We like creativity.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So look, guys, just because creativity is not a reason to not engage in measurable managerial behaviors doesn't mean creativity isn't great. You got to be creative. Peter Drucker tells us that the two core behaviors of any organization are marketing and innovation. And of course, the marketing people love that. So, well, I'm a creative person and I'm a marketer. I must be Drucker's best guy. No, actually, marketing in Drucker's mind is going out and finding what the world needs. It is not trying to convince them to buy what you have decided that they need. That's advertising or selling. Yeah, so you go out and determine what the market needs, and then you create it, and that's an innovative process. And then you have to continue innovating because organizations gradually tend toward a boring central tendency, and they lose their stars and block men die in unstrategic defiance of martial law. And leave it to Drucker, by the way, who's as good as it ever will be, to define all of the organizations of the world to a necessary and sufficient level with only two criteria. It applies to all organizations in the world. But anyway, look, guys, obviously, we want creativity in our organizations. We want the process improvement, the new products, the new services, the new system simplifications, the problem solving, the design sensibilities, the intellectual example that creative people bring to the table. And we want managers to be creative too. Perhaps even especially so for managers, because not only are their ideas perhaps useful and help us get better and more efficient and more effective, but they then model creativity in the organization as an exemplar in the organization, and that generates more ideas, which leads to better ideas. Almost always, more ideas lead to better ideas, right? An idea is a dangerous thing if it's the only one you have. So yes, creativity is important, just like profits are important. But profits aren't always important. In fact, sometimes we do things that we know are not profitable, which then should flow to creativity too, which is creativity isn't always called for. Look, maybe a bad example. You don't carry a newborn baby around without cradling his or her head in its first few days of life in the interest of learning whether or not this way is a better way. Science has proven that you have to cradle a newborn baby's head because the head is so heavy and the baby can't hold it up. You don't get to be creative about that. I'm sorry, you don't. You don't spend all of your annual managerial budget in 1 month to creatively experience how well we could run our team with no budget in the last 11 months. I actually had a manager tell me that about 15 years ago. You don't ignore your email because you want to experiment about its true value to you and the organization. You don't get to do that. You don't get to have a creativity experiment about, I'm going to ignore mail for a week or two. I'm sorry, you don't. It is a reasonable system, and you are expected to behave in reasonable ways around it. Now, go back to the baby example. Could you try, as a parent, having your child sleep on a rug, a little bit of a padded rug, to see if it's better than a crib? Maybe you could. Maybe you could be creative about that. What's funny is, I suspect people wouldn't. And I'm saying, whoa, so creativity doesn't apply to everything, does it? It really doesn't. So maybe your creativeness doesn't exempt you from some simple processes and systems in the organization. Could you restrict your team's spending to 40% of budget for a month or two to see what happens and get creative about cost cutting? Sure you could. Could you only do email 3 times a day? And see whether you could still get it all done. By the way, you can. And yet not incur any wrath from the email culture? Sure, you could. You could experiment that way. You could be creative about email. Yeah, of course you could. Dudes, creativity is necessary, but it's not everything. And it's not a defense against anything you want it to be a defense against. In some areas, creativity rules. Market segment identification, new strategic positions that nobody has ever thought of. Blue Ocean Strategy, one of my favorite strategy books, is all about thinking differently about the customers and the competition and the marketplace that you operate in. the red waters, the waters that are full of blood of companies fighting for market share, that's not creative. Anybody can do that. All the other companies have already shown you the way. But blue ocean customers, it takes creativity. The process by which you get there may be analytical in nature, but the decision to say, we're going to go after this market segment, which nobody else has had, is a form of creativity. EBITDA reporting for a real estate company. Look, you're unlikely to change that requirement. You're not. I mean, so yeah, in marketing, you know, and strategic innovation, sure, creativity is important, but you don't get to be creative and say to the SEC or to some other governing body, yeah, we're going to be creative about reporting our financials. And see, actually, it seems like every time you read about that, somebody's going to jail.
Well, yeah. Getting creative with your financials is usually not considered a good thing.
Yeah, exactly. And look, guys, what's really interesting here is that creativity is actually not anti-rules either. It's not creative people who are wise about their own creativity say, no, I'm not against rules at all. Creativity isn't about organizational anarchy where everyone, or at least everyone who claims to be a creative, gets to ignore the rules they wish to ignore. Rules can actually foster creativity. Many famous creative people describe themselves as working in an often self-imposed, constrained environment to hone their craft. There's a famous story about Monet doing that very thing to become an expert in his creative expression of using light as one of the most well-known impressionist painters. In fact, there's a famous book, Creativity from Constraints, and by that I don't mean that you're free from constraints by being creative, but that you can become creative from the constraints you place on the parameters that people think about.
Doesn't Stephen Pressfield talk about that in his book, The War on Art, right?
Yeah, The War of Art.
War of Art, right, which is... I won't get the story right. I'm sure you remember these details better. But it goes like, well, how are you creative? Like,
yeah.
I sit down at my desk at 9 a.m. every morning and start writing.
I actually think that was the epigram at the start of a chapter of the book. And it's a quote from somebody else, someone who's a fairly prolific writer.
I knew it again.
But you're absolutely right. I'll tell you how I get creative. I sit down to write every morning at 9 a.m. So look, guys, the point here is we want creative managers, okay? In fact, many of you who are longtime listeners thought of yourself as creative when nobody else was doing one-on-ones and you listened to a podcast and thought, you know, I think I could do that. And one of the reasons Mike and I diminish or don't talk as much about our contribution is there's a one thing in putting out a podcast that people can listen to. It's another thing, you taking the risk of doing something different. I mean, it's not an enormous risk, like let's bet the farm on something, but it is a risk in terms of your reputation. And it would be just as easy, as busy as we all are, to keep doing what you've always been doing. But, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. So we want creativity, but creativity doesn't get to be applied willy-nilly. You don't get to be creative in managing others without knowing and appreciating the simple, basic rules that apply to managers everywhere. And I mentioned this in Things I Think a couple of years ago. There's a watch ad that redresses this. And it's simple. To break the rules, which creativity people are always talking about doing, you must first master them. And if you've been listening to us for a while, you know there are some rules, not a lot, but there are some rules about management. Okay, so that's all the background. I'm sorry for those of you who just wanted the solution. Maybe I should have put the solution first. How it might sound if we put it all together. So again, you're a director, you're an HR leader, you're rolling out a managerial behavior. It doesn't have to be one-on-ones, but it often is in our world, and we like one-on-ones. Someone in your organization reports to you or your training or whatever, resists the change and cites their creative nature. How can you help them see the light so that their creativity will shine more because they apply it within some known parameters? It's almost like some of these systems and processes and step-by-step recommendations that we make will actually help a creative person's light shine in a more focused way because they won't spend a whole lot of time doing seven wrong things and saying, as Edison, I think, said, you know, when somebody said, look, gosh, you failed a lot. He says, no, those aren't failures. I can tell you 10,000 things that don't work. Unfortunately, an organization's time and resources, you're not Edison, just to be clear. So it might sound like this. Look, dude, I'm glad you're a creative person. That's a good thing. We can all benefit from thinking differently. And, you know, if it was a manager, I might say, and when you come to weekly meetings, don't rein in your creativity. Now, sometimes you may need to pre-wire some things, but we can all benefit from you having more ideas and setting an example for other people of throwing things out there that are a little bit counterintuitive. I want that. Sometimes those of us who aren't as creative need your differential approach to identify new customers, new products, new systems, new processes, or just changes to them because we accept what was there, maybe because it was invented before we were here. And sometimes you just need to shine a really bright light on something and go, wow, there's a way better way. Yeah. I mean, we can achieve more if we can be more efficient about things we're already doing because they've gotten bloated or slow, or whatever. And changing those things is an act of creativity. And having said that, not all parts of your job are necessarily determined by your creative nature. Being on time, for instance, isn't something that being creative exempts you from. Being a creative person doesn't mean you don't have to achieve your results or meet deadlines or work well with others or husband resources efficiently, right? If at the end of the year you have three goals and you don't meet them and you say, well, Mark, I'm a creative person, you know, dude, I love you, but that's not going to go very far. And I know you're smart enough to not to say that to me. Management is one of those areas where creativity is great and creativity is best used in a construct of the principles that are well established in the field. Imagine you're a creative person. You say, I'm going to jump off a building because I want to test gravity. Gravity is a principle, dude. It's a principle. Principles aren't testable. They're knowable. They're measurable and they work all the time. As my friend Michael Swinson says, there are principles about management. And probably the most important one that we know of is that the higher your trust between you and your team, the more likely you are to achieve better results. It's the highest correlation we've ever measured, and it's significant. Being creative doesn't change the science that building trust with your team members is the most valuable time you can spend. It doesn't. Being creative doesn't mean you get to experiment on your own, without having done lots of research, with how a person builds trust. Because how a person builds trust, a human being builds trust, is pretty well science too. I mean, it's not all science, but of the 10 building blocks, the first seven are all scientific, or put differently, are simply known and measured as the you know, sitting down and talking to someone else and being true to your word and talking to other people more frequently about things that are important to them is the single most efficient way mankind has ever determined to build trust. It's literally that. Maybe there's a better way, but we're not going to pay in terms of less results, less efficiency, less effectiveness for you to run an experiment about that. In the same way that we don't get to run an experiment with the marketplace where we say, how long will you let us keep operating without being profitable? Because we're pretty sure we're going to have a big blockbuster pretty soon. So just keep giving us cash in the markets. It doesn't work that way. Well, if you want to do that, you can, but that's called a startup and most of them fail. So look, structured, scheduled time with your directs on a regular weekly basis has been proven repeatedly to be the fastest way to build trust and communication. No offense, you're not creative enough to beat the science around that. So I'm going to politely insist on one-on-ones. Now, obviously, the last bit you wouldn't say if you were an HR leader or director. It would only be for a director, somebody who's, you know, talking to one of their direct reports. Okay, continuing. And here's the thing, dude. You can still bring your creativity to the table. Once you've established a pattern of weekly meetings, I look forward to hearing your ideas about how to make them better. Even more important than that, one-on-ones give you focused time to share your creativity with your team and to expand on what you're doing and why you're doing it so that they can learn from you, which is why one of the reasons why organizations exist is to spread learning so more people can benefit from good ideas and bad ideas get stopped sooner. You may help some of your folks become more creative people with some focused attention, and that's a good thing. But you're not going to do it just by chatting people up. You're not going to do it by flitting from person to person, because there are people who work for you who aren't naturally like you, and they won't appreciate that. So, dude, I look forward to seeing you doing them and hearing how they're working and hearing how maybe you think they could be made better within reason, just like everything else in an organization. And by the way, one of the things you'll notice when Manager Tools recommends, guys, that you address a pushback, you'll notice that in almost every case, we encourage you to be appreciative of and respectful of the other person's point of view. There's no sense in telling them you're wrong, which, by the way, I have a lot of experience with early in my career, and I can tell you from experience, it's probably not the best way. Sometimes you can get away with it, but in the long run, you're going to get caught, and it's not helpful to you. Pretty simple, pretty straightforward. Let me also offer this. I was told by two different people, I don't know, it's been 3 or 4 months ago, that I should write this cast. And I said, actually, I had the bones of it already set up. There are some people who don't know that I encourage you to write me, mahorstman@manager-tools.com, and tell me what podcast you think we need. The list is long. There's 3,000 casts yet to go. I said several years ago there were 3,000, and I've written hundreds, and I've been getting hundreds, and there are little pieces that we haven't covered that I think would be good. So don't hesitate to write us and let us know. And let me just summarize quickly, dude, and I know I've been talking a long time. Obviously, we want everybody to think creatively about their work, and in no way do we want creative people not to feel that being creative is good. But again, creativity is not the only tool we use to accomplish. Some parts of work are best left to known, proven, measured techniques. We can't have managers using abacuses if they're slower and less powerful than Excel, because that manager likes abacuses. When it comes to one-on-ones and most of the managerial behaviors we recommend, the basics don't require creativity, at least to get started. On the other hand, your ability to be creative will flourish when you apply the discipline of one-on-ones to the relationships you're supposed to have with your directs.
Awesome, dude.
Anytime.
Enjoyed it, my friend.
Take care, buddy.
Thanks, everyone. That's it. On to another topic next week. In the meantime, have a great one. So long, folks.